Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com, or if you like to type, here's a long one, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those three will get you to a little bit of small business heaven, a place where you can find thousands of archives of past shows that we've done with our hundreds of Brain Trust members and probably over 1,000 articles that are posted by now from me and from our Brain Trust members, and lots of other things and lots of new things coming up pretty soon that we'll be telling you more about. So I hope you'll check that out. And also, while you're at my website, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week on Sunday by email to get you ready for the week ahead. Rick Pinion is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's an old friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the president of Pinion Financial Services. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And folks, Rick is in the financial, works in the financial world. He is a registered financial representative, an investment representative, and that means that he works in a little bit of a different part of the marketplace than you and I. Most of us work in the caveat emptor marketplace, meaning let the buyer beware. But in the investment industry, there is no place for caveat emptor. It's the fundamental default attitude has got to be full disclosure. And so with that in mind, Rick has something he'd like to say. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, thank you, Jim. First of all, I just wanted to remind the audience that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD, SIPC, and as with any investment vehicle, past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investors should be aware that there are risks inherent in all investments, such as fluctuation and investment principle. Thank you very much.
All right, Rick, nobody does that better than you. You do that with such aplomb.
Well, thank you. I try to be diplomatic.
It's really exciting to hear you do the full disclosure thing there for us, Rick. Thank you for doing that, by the way. And that, you know, I think that's instructional. I think it's good for people to understand that when they're dealing with investments, that it's a different world. I mean, literally, you go from kind of one room to another room. The one room is ethics and where ethics can be debated a little bit maybe, and it's caveat emptor. But you go into if you've ever read a prospectus, that's when you know you're in another world, don't you, Rick?
Yeah, and also I have another level of responsibility because I'm a registered investment advisor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I have a fiduciary relationship with my clients. So they hold
right.
me to a much higher degree of care.
Absolutely. Rick, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is disability insurance. As one of the things that Rick has been doing with us, ladies and gentlemen, now for a long time, is to help us understand all the aspects of our financial plan, of our financial instruments that we use, the different products that we use, the different things that we need to deal with. And Rick, you've talked to us about investments. You've talked to us about retirement. You've talked to us about insurance. Two or three other areas that get over into our full financial program. And one of them, though, that we haven't talked about in a while is disability insurance. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you don't want to leave home without it. It's a very critical part. In fact, of all the things we've talked about over the years, I would think that disability insurance is one of the critical components because, you know, small business owners get up and go to work every day. And I guess we don't think a whole lot about it, but something could happen to either our health or, through either accident or sickness, it could knock us off our feet.
Well, you know, Rick, we work without a net.
That's right.
But I would also say, as important as you say it is, I'm gonna say that I believe of all the insurances that are available, it's probably the one that small business owners have least.
Yeah, that's true, because disability is multidimensional, so there's different types of disability plans. And I think you're right. It's one of those things that people put on the back burner, and they get their health insurance, but sometimes they neglect the disability coverage. And protecting one's income, of course, is very important these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, in life insurance, most of us have life insurance. But then you say, well, okay, that's great. If you die, you've got everybody taken care of. But what if you live?
Right. And, of course, you know, term life insurance these days is very, very inexpensive. Disability is a little bit more expensive because we're protecting a person's income.
Right.
And depending on a person's age and the amount of income they want to cover, it could be a substantial part of a person's budget to cover it.
And there's the rub, I think. And there's the rub. And when we come back after these messages, we're going to talk about how to work it into your budget. Rick's going to help us with that. We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Pinion is our guest. Stay with us.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Rick Pinion is our guest, and it's our sixth anniversary, mine and Rick's sixth anniversary. 6 years ago, right about now, he was on the show for the first time. He's been a regular star of our Brain Trust ever since. Rick Pinion, happy anniversary, baby.
Well, thank you. We'll have to blow out some candles together.
I know. We'll have to do something. We need to go celebrate or something. But anyway, thank you for being steadfast supporter of all the things that we do and such a great resource for small business owners over the last 6 years. Well, really for a long time, but in terms of our audience, for the last 6 years. And on behalf of my audience, we thank you.
Well, time goes by quickly when you're having fun.
When you're having fun, it does. We appreciate all of your efforts, Rick. Rick, let's get back into this issue of disability insurance. We were talking about the fact that people have life insurance, but as you mentioned, term insurance is pretty cheap. Disability insurance, not so much.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things that a person has to reconcile in their mind that, you know, we're all human beings, that we're fragile.
We're not bulletproof.
Well, anything can happen at any time. And so when we take a look at disability, it's important to look at the different types of disability. I view it, by the way, as part of a total financial plan. In other words, it's one of the components. It's like the foundation, which is included in any of the type of insurance products that gives your business a foundation. So if anything does happen, at least you've got something to keep going. And keeping the doors open is very, very important. And when a business owner gets knocked down, sometimes the employees, you know, they get worried. So it's nice to have different types of disability coverage, not only to protect the income of the owner, but also to pay the bills that are coming in when that owner is not able to walk through the door.
Well, you know what happens, I think, Rick, is I definitely don't think anybody has any kind of a problem appreciating what you just said. I think everybody who owns a business says, you're exactly right, Rick. I completely agree with you. I want that kind of coverage. And then the agent shows up and shows them the sticker price, and that's when they get sticker shock.
Well, except that Uncle Sam is your partner in this case, because Uncle Sam allows you to write it off. It's a tax-deductible item for business owners.
Right, okay.
So that's one thing to kind of heal the wounds.
That hasn't always been the case, has it?
Not always. In other words, the laws have changed over time. They've been more
because I remember when it wasn't so.
Right. Now the laws have become more favorable, especially for health related products. I mean,
right.
Things like long term care and disability are getting more favorable review these days.
Right. Well, what they also need is to develop some kind of a product like the HSAs, where if you don't get disabled, you get to keep some of the money.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I think it was about maybe 15 years ago we had a product that was so good, where if a person didn't get disabled, they got their money back.
Really.
And some of these people are calling me up now saying, Rick, you know, I'm so glad I took this product because nothing's happened.
But it's not available anymore.
It was so good it went away.
It was so good, so successful it quit carrying it. That sounds like my luck. How do we deal with the sticker shock? We know it's deductible. All right, now you've told us it's deductible, but none of us are in the 100% tax bracket.
Well, I think in dealing with the sticker shock, you have to remember that whenever we think about disability, we're thinking about transferring that risk over to a large insurance company. In other words, if you don't have disability insurance basically you're self-insuring. And so if we can transfer that risk to thousands of other people, we know not everybody's going to get disabled. We do know a certain percentage of them are, mm-hmm. and hopefully we're not one of those. But if we are, then everybody's sharing that cost for us. That's one thing. The second thing is if you can put in a group plan that covers not only yourself but also your employees, mm-hmm. that also helps a little bit.
All right.
It kind of thins out the cost a little bit.
Is it possible that, see, as you know, Rick, I'm a big proponent of association health plans.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we need association health plans. I think we should be able to buy insurance across state lines in a larger group, like a bunch of chambers of commerce gaggle together. The U.S. chamber gets one big policy, and let's local chambers and their members join it, or trade groups or something like that. I think that's a good thing, in my opinion, for small businesses. I wonder if it's possible that if we could get association health plans, AHPs, that could also include disability insurance. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. And this is a problem in the industry right now, is that there's lack of uniformity. And basically it's because insurance is regulated by the state. So
yes.
If you cross a straight line, your plan may not be the best that it is in another state. And I think you're right. There needs to be some reforms in this area. I think it would be much easier for the consumer, especially we have corporations now that are operating in several different states.
Well, corporations are insuring their people across state lines. Big corporations are. Trade unions, Rick, are allowing their employees, their members, to join insurance programs across state lines. If big companies and trade unions can do it, why can't small business owners do it?
Well, maybe this is a good developmental opportunity for us to try to put something like this together. There are associations, by the way, that do offer disability coverage.
Hmm.
They're professional societies, like, for example, the AMA.
Right.
Doctors have always been eligible for disability coverage through them. Many people pick up disability through their health insurance carrier. In other words, it's another layer on the cake where they get both group life and group disability through their existing health insurance carrier.
Mm-hmm.
See, I view these as what we call ancillary benefits. In other words, they can be superimposed on top of other types of programs. If, for example, you join an association, disability may be on a menu of different products and services that you can receive through the association.
Right.
Some people actually join just to get insurance.
Absolutely. And professional employment organizations, we used to call them leasing companies.
Mm-hmm.
Employee leasing companies. That's a good way to get low cost insurance, because you do what you said. You join a larger group of insured people, and it brings your cost down. That's, as you say, a lot of people join those just to get the health care and the insurance benefits. Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Pinion right after these messages. He's the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services.
How long has it been?
Back at 7 till. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Got a great week lined up for you all the rest of the week. Whatever you do, stay tuned right here all week long. And Rick Pinion is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the founder and the president of Pinion Financial Services, and he has more designations, financial planning designations behind his name than you can get on a whole line. It's enormous, the different kind of designations he has, and very impressive, and just demonstrates his commitment to professionalism, his commitment to doing a good job. And Rick, I appreciate that about you, and I want you to give us your website, please.
Sure. The website is www.pinionfinancial, which is one word. Pinion, by the way, is like opinion without the O. It's easy to remember. So it's pinionfinancial.com. You can go on there. There's information about the different products and services available in the financial services arena. If you'd like to email me, I'll be happy to send you out a package on disability insurance and how it works, and maybe that might help you out from an educational
right.
point of view.
I appreciate that. Thank you for making that available. What else do we need to know about disability insurance?
Well, I think every business owner should sit down with a qualified representative and look at their existing coverage to make sure that, A, they have a good group plan if they're eligible for a group, if they're solo, to make sure that they have a good plan that's going to cover their income, and if they're in a partnership, to make sure that they have a plan that if either partner becomes disabled, that plan will buy out the disabled partner share. There's many, many different types of disability coverage, and it's hard to cover them all, you know, in a half hour. But there's probably about 10 critical disability types of policies you need to look into.
What are 10 different types? How would they differ?
Well, like, for example, we talked about group. We have individual. We have association. We have the one that covers the buy-sell agreement for disability.
Okay.
We also have what we call a top hat plan for those highly paid, highly compensated executives that the group plan doesn't cover them, because normally the group plan has a cap on them. There's both short-term disability. It covers, you know, like up to maybe 12 weeks. There's long-term disability. Gosh, I could go on and on. But those
Rick, even though you said that the insurance, the disability insurance is 100% deductible, none of us are in the 100% tax bracket, as I mentioned. I think one of the things that slows people down in doing the disability insurance is if they're making, you know, a decent income as a small business owner, I think when they see the ticket on what it would cost to completely replace what they're making, that's a blink level. That's sticker shock. What do you think? What do you say to those people? Is there a formula to say, okay, you know, you should try to buy 50% or 75% or whatever?
That's an excellent point, Jim. I'm glad you brought that up. Most plans will cover up to 60% of a person's gross income, which pretty much will approximate their net income, because, you know, the other 40% these days is taken up with taxes and all sorts of other types of expenses. So when we get down to 60%, we can pretty much make that person whole again. Mm-hmm. If a person needs more than that, obviously we have different catastrophic plans that we can put into place, right, that are similar to long-term care. In other words, they cover you if you're catastrophically disabled. And we look at activities of daily living to see if you qualify for disability.
You know, another thing, Rick, that will help in this area, I think, is if you get your company, if you learn how to delegate, you hire good people, you train them well, you turn over responsibility, you delegate responsibility and authority to them, and you get the company to the point where if something happened to you, the company could, you know, at least limp along without you for a while, maybe even, you know, be back to, you know, maybe close to 100% after a while if you weren't there. And if you had that and you were already funding that, you could say, you know what, I don't have to have that much disability. I need some, but not as much as maybe, you know, like 60%. I can maybe save a little money, go ahead and get a policy, because if something happened to me, at least the company would still be able to pay me some money. See what I mean? The good management of our company actually helps us to have a little bit of disability insurance.
Yeah. In fact, that we don't have time to go into it, but there's another plan called a business overhead expense plan.
Ah.
The business overhead expense plan is like a voucher system. So When the bills come in, we reimburse, and then, of course, let's put it this way. The premiums for the business overhead are tax deductible, but when you go ahead and pay your bills, the best way to put this. The premiums are tax deductible, but when the checks come into you, they're taxable income. Mm-hmm. But then they become deductible again when you start paying your expenses.
So this kind of basically, this is something you need to ask your financial planner about.
Oh, yes, yes. And you need to talk to a qualified tax professional as well.
Right. Thank you, Rick, for being here. Good job today. Thank you for 6 great years.
Thank you.
See you later. Rick Pena, ladies and gentlemen. That's PenaFinancial.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.